Good evening or good morning, depending where you're at, and welcome to yet another edition of the Fringe Radio Show for the 7th of June. Wow, summer is summer is here in full force. It's hard to believe we're halfway through the year. I haven't counted the number of days to Christmas, but seems like it was just Christmas, and I know I talk about it. I can't believe how much time is flying by. I guess the older we get, the quicker it flies. Anyway, I'd like to say good evening or good morning to all of our listeners. Of course, Fringe Radio is on Monday through Friday from midnight till 2 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. We're on Saturday nights from 6 till 9 p.m. And, of course, we're simulcasted on KPDR Television, Channel 19.6 TV here in Salt Lake City. Our sponsor is Utah Go Green Carpet Cleaning. They're experts in the Hostry cleaning system for your Persian rugs, wool rugs, orientals, stuff that you don't want to get wet and you want to make sure it's cleaned correctly. They do encapsulation cleaning, bonnet shampooing, tile and grout, slate floors, upholstery, you name it, commercial and residential. Give them a call at 801-808-3228. That's 801-808-3228 and show them your support as they support Fringe Radio. Or you can find them on the World Wide Web at UtahGoGreenCarpetCleaning.com. The UFO Store has been around for 13-plus years, providing periodicals, DVDs, magazines, books on UFOs, alien abductions, paranormal, scientific stuff, conspiracies, just all kinds of great things. Randy is a big supporter of Fringe Radio, and we want to support him as well. So go to the UFOStore.com. Grim Ghost Tours of Salt Lake City has been around for a couple of years. Paul and Serenity and Bobby and the whole group over there do events on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights here in Salt Lake City. They do a cemetery tour, haunted house tour, a haunted location tour, and then they also do paranormal investigations. A great thing to get for your kids, grandkids, a great thing to take your wife or your girlfriend out on a date. GrimGhostTours.com is their website, and that's Grim with two M's, GhostTours.com. You can buy tickets online or call them at 801-508-GRIM. That's 801-508-4746. Of course, we're live on the Inception Radio Network. We want to say hello to all of our listeners on Inception. We see that Jamie is back on. Jamie, you'll catch this in a second or two because it's a little bit delayed, but glad that you're feeling better. And again, we are so honored to be a part of Inception Radio Network, all our listeners that are out there. We appreciate their support. Joe and Jamie and everybody, the admin of Inception, Have been supportive of us since we moved over there and been simulcasting our show for the past year. You can go to InceptionRadio.network, InceptionRadioNetwork.com and text in, or if you have questions, put them in the chat room and we'll make sure that we get them covered. ParaQuest Radio Network invited us to be a part of their group. You can go to PQRN.net and hear Fringe Radio on ParaQuest Radio Network as well. The Fringe Radio Show covers anything related to ghosts, paranormal, conspiracies, UFOs, alien abductions, flying saucers, science fiction, Bigfoot afterlife, near-death experiences, historical events, and historical conspiracies. Anything shrouded in just a little bit of mystery. We ask our callers to be very respectful of our guests and their beliefs as they're on the show to be here with us and educate us. You can find Fringe Radio on the World Wide Web at www.thefringeradioshow.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter. If you have a story, an experience, or a sighting and you'd like to come on the show, go to the contact page, send us an email, and we'll get back to you. The call-in number up and down the Wasatch Front, 801-254-5855. That's 801-254-KTKK. Tonight, you've got just me. Mr. Lee is busy, and Carol is working on some projects, but we have got an awesome guest. Our guest tonight is Antonio Paris. Antonio is the founder and director of the Aerial Phenomena Investigations Team, is a former U.S. Army counterintelligence officer and Department of Defense counterintelligence special agent. In those two capacities, he's conducted and supported national security investigations concerning Department of Defense personnel who were suspected of espionage on behalf of foreign power or terrorist organizations. Anyway, we're honored to have Tony on the show. Let's go ahead and bring him on. Antonio, good morning. Welcome to K-Talk and the Fringe Radio Show.
Hey, guys. It's an honor to be on tonight with you guys.
Well, we appreciate you staying up late. Hopefully you've got the coffee going, and we can talk about all kinds of things, and especially everything that your group does.
Yeah, when I did the time adjustment, I said, are these guys crazy? It's 2 a.m., but it's okay. It's fine.
Well, hey, this is the time to talk about this kind of stuff, Antonio. This is when it all happened.
Yeah. That guy driving along the road at 3 o'clock in the morning and sees mysterious objects.
You got it, exactly. Well, again, I'm honored to have you on as a guest, and I appreciate you coming on at this time of the morning. A little bit earlier here in Salt Lake City and, of course, on the West Coast. But how did you, if you could give me a little bit of background, how did you get into all of this stuff? What was your interest? What piqued it all up and got you involved with your organization?
Pretty much like most kids, I was always interested in science fiction, space travel, wanted to be an astronaut when I grew up, things like that. And it wasn't really until I was in grad school that when I was studying planetary science that I really became interested in the possibilities of extraterrestrial life. And so what I did was, starting in about 2009, 2010, I started going to local UFO conferences, some of the bigger ones, the national conferences, and what I quickly realized was that it wasn't really what I thought it was going to be. These conferences were more like just a circus of people running around claiming extraterrestrials are here, and I wanted to do something a little different. I wanted to approach the subject more from like a Sherlock Holmes scientific perspective, and I couldn't find that. I couldn't find an organization that looked at the topic really serious, and I said to myself, well, I guess I'll just have to create my own organization. And just went around and started recruiting like-minded individuals like myself that believe in extraterrestrial life but are kind of skeptics about it. And you know, in the last couple of years, I've been able to shape and build a team with a group of investigators that believe in extraterrestrial life, but they're actually looking for that physical proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Well, and, you know, I think, Antonio, so many people are skeptical, I think. There's the whole citizens disclosure event that took place in Washington. And you know, I mean,
yeah, that's another thing. That's even that was made to turn out to look like a circus by the media. I mean, within an hour, you know, the media was just poking fun and calling that conference, you know, gathering the space cadets, and so even the media look at these organizations and just poke fun at them, don't really take the topic serious, and that's what I'm trying to revive ufology. I use that word a lot, revive ufology, and that's to slowly bring it back to a serious topic. You know, and get all the fanfare out of it, all the hocus pocus out of it, so that people, when they look at aerial phenomena, they'll say, you know, wow, this is a serious team, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, and again, my hat's off to you. I agree. The thing is, I mean, again, what I was going to say is, so many people tend to be skeptical. And I think the media, to some degree, not all, but a lot of them, they do make a circus out of it. The minute somebody sees a UFO, or even if they're getting better, and I would assume that you would agree with that. A couple of years ago, if somebody called into a television station and caught some video footage, you'd see the anchor people kind of chuckling and laughing about it. But that's starting to slowly change. And I think the disclosure hearing, no matter what anybody made fun of, it was still a huge movement forward, and it's getting more and more people aware. I know here in Utah we had Merrill Cook on, who was there. He's a longtime politician. He's been a representative of Utah, held many different positions, and his take on it was really what I found was really interesting with the whole disclosure thing. There's a lot, you know, when we talk about things being covered up, it goes very deep into the Veterans Affairs. I mean, it's medical records.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the you know, everybody thinking the CIA or the NSA type papers. I mean, it even goes into the medical records of military personnel.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we, you know, there's a lot of people that good work for that is that they entertain and chase those rabbit holes. One of the things that we do at Aerial Phenomena is we don't, although we find it, you know, entertaining, and but as investigators, we are looking for nuts and bolts types of investigations. Okay, a person saw something or a witness saw something. What is it? What are the flight characteristics and things like that? We really tend to stay away from conspiracies, you know, the government hiding stuff, you know, things at Area 51 or the Roswell cover-up. Those are nice things to research, but as investigations, they tend to derail the investigative process. So we're looking for hard, tangible evidence. We don't like to chase rabbit holes. We obviously, a lot of us are cleared individuals up here in D.C. We don't go around sneaking, you know, in drawers late at night at the Pentagon looking for that UFO document. That's not what we do. We're not really the Mulder and Scully type of investigators. I like to think ourselves like, you know, the Sherlock Holmes types with the big magnifying glass, going to an alleged site of a landing and looking for what a detective would look for, so that I can provide it to a prosecutor, is, okay, here is physical proof. Okay, now you take it from here, and that's the kind of thing that we want to do, because we've noticed that when we start investigating reports and then someone starts talking about conspiracies or the CIA is following me or the Men in Black are following me and those things like that, we kind of stay away from those things.
Well, does your group, Antonio, do you get into do you deal with you know, with people that claiming that they have been abducted or contacted? Does your group delve into that, or is it strictly?
We're slowly looking into that. We initially my group, it was just myself and a few guys and gals, and what I quickly noticed with alien abductions, not all, but at least a good handful, is that the people appear to need some type of psychological or psychiatric help. They're talking about nightmares. I would get phone calls late at night and emails of people literally screaming for help. And I quickly realized, okay, this, we're not these people need clinical help. We're not doctors. And there were times where I had to call police because I think the person was, about to commit suicide. So we really started staying away from that kind of stuff. And about a year ago, I ran into a guy named Ray out of Jersey who was studying psychology in grad school and was very interested in this type of phenomena. So I said, okay, I'll have Ray start looking into these type of reports. And we started doing that, but I'm very skeptical about alien abductions. And a good friend of mine, Dr. Peter Resta, who's a member of MUFON Maryland, he came to my conference about a month ago, and I had a topic called the enigma of extraterrestrial abductions. And he agreed with me. He goes, Antonio, if you get these type of reports, you probably should network with local psychologists or counselors and have them speak to these people rather than a UFO investigator. Because 9 out of 10, I mean, just 2 days ago I got an email from a guy claiming abduction, and he was pleading for help, very clearly pleading for help. And I passed the information to a local doctor and said, this guy might need some help. Because we're not psychiatrists, we're not psychologists. Interesting cases, but people obviously need, not all, but most of them tend to need some type of medical help that we're not qualified to do.
Right, right. Well, and I believe, I know some people don't, but I believe in the abduction scenario and people, contactees, and I believe things happen. But I respect that, like you said, you can get yourself in the ufology field or ufology research. I mean, you can get yourself spread paper thin, Antonio. I'm sure you can,
Sure.
It just goes so wide, so deep. And I think to do one thing
important. I look at the subject almost like a police department. A police department is broken into different sections. You've got homicide, you've got bank robbery, you've got so and so many departments, and each detective is specialized in so many different squads. I like to look at so that detective, he obviously can't do that many subjects. So he's part of one squad, and that's what he does. That's what I want an aerial phenomenon to do is, okay, we're like police officers, but we're kind of concentrated in only a couple of subjects. And who knows, as we expand and continue to grow, maybe we can look at other things. I started off with just me, and as of yesterday, now we're up to 17 investigators, including international guys. So we're slowly looking at other subjects. That's a good thing. Hopefully, who knows, maybe in the future I'll have an actual doctor on board, and he'll look at other phenomena as well.
Now, I assume that your group is an all-volunteer organization?
It's all volunteer. I get a lot of resumes. People, oh, my God, I want to join your team. And I really look at the people's backgrounds and things like that. I'm not looking really for particular mindsets, just people who've got the savviness to be an investigator. I'm not looking for PhDs. I'm not looking for, former FBI, just someone who really wants to be an investigator. And I have all types of belief systems on the team. I've got people who are complete skeptics, and I've got people who don't believe, and then I have those who do believe and are experiencers, people who have witnessed UFOs. So it's a really good mix of people that can sit around the table and debate the issue.
Well, and to be honest with you, I think having skeptics, maybe even a debunker, is not such a bad thing, to have in your group, because, again, it kind of levels the playing field a little bit. As if everybody if everybody thinks the same way at the end of the day, you're probably going to come up with the same result. But if you've got people on the team that are like, hey, I don't really think so, or that's not a UFO to me. One thing I do like about your website, and people need to go take a look at it, it's aerial-phenomenon.org. You break it up, and I'd like to kind of talk about some of these topics and maybe some of the things that you guys research. But your man-made objects photo page is just awesome. You know, a lot of things that a lot of times people would feel it's is a UFO of some sort. Just go take a look at that page, and there's kind of a clear explanation for everything.
Yeah, and that's the way I kind of shape the team as well. You know, when these guys first came on board, oh my God, it's a light in the sky, it's a UFO, and I slowly shaped them into becoming, into actually being, you know, questioning the report. And for the first year, we got hundreds of reports, and I intentionally had them investigate the reports, whether it was a light in the sky, a photo of an object or something. And I was doing that intentionally for building them and shaping them and training them. And now I'm so confident that they are skeptical about every report, that now we triage the reports. And so we don't just open every investigation. We have a criteria now that needs to be met before we spend time and money on a case. And so things like, are there multiple witnesses? Is there daytime sighting? Did it happen, you know, and not 50 years ago? Is there an actual photo or sketch? And I think the most important criteria is the witness credible and cooperative. And all these things, when you put them together, make for a better case. But you're right. I just didn't want a website full of a bunch of UFO photos. I wanted to educate the public about what are things that are out there that might be the culprits of UFO reports. And there's man-made objects, there's natural phenomena like cloud formations and lens flares. I even put like a lexicon, a page for people to come and learn the UFO lingo and things like that. And something that I put recently was astrophysical phenomena, you know, strange sounds, you know, coming from outer space that can be misinterpreted for alien signals. And a bunch of podcasts with the community, educating the public on, you know, aerial phenomena, UFOs, you name it. So I'm really, my goal is to educate the newer generation. I can't change the mindset of the normal retirees that go to these UFO conferences and talk about conspiracies. If you notice on my Twitter, on my Facebook, most of the people that I'm reaching out to is the younger generation, kind of like, you know, I'm the high school teacher shaping the young minds before they go to college on UFOs exist, but hey, guess what? A lot of it can be explained.
Right. Well, you know, and one thing that I find interesting, and I've had a lot of guests on the program talk about is the scientific community, or the scientists in the universities and even in the high schools. Nobody is teaching a ufology class. It doesn't necessarily have to be called UFOs or aliens or spaceships. But it's something that you would figure, and again, it's private organizations like your organization that kind of teach people. It's sad, and I think it's going to change eventually. It would be nice to see some of these colleges, universities, teach a class, an accredited class on this type of subject.
There is one.
Is there?
Dr. Ruster at the University of Maryland in Catonville had me speak in his class. And it's a psychology class, but with a concentration on the paranormal, including UFOs. And I think he's pretty much the only one. I'll email you the info. I think he's the only one that really has an accredited class in the entire country on the subject. And so I went and was a guest speaker or lecturer once, and it was a small class, maybe only 25 people. But I was surprised that, oh my God, there's an actual university that's providing this type of this class. So there is one. It's, you know, it's something that you really gotta Google and look for, and it's not just one of those that's being advertised, you know, out in the airwaves. But you're right. A lot of these conferences I go to, you don't see mainstream science, you know, backing it up or sponsoring it.
Right.
And if you look, I don't know if you missed my UFOCon 13 conference, which was about 4 weeks ago. If you look at the guest list, that my guest speaker list, I specifically had scientists that came on board. You know, those 8 speakers, and out of those 8, 7 were in the science field, and they came to talk about, you know, those are your closet UFO believers, but they came out and talked about their perspective on UFOs and the phenomena. So that was a huge success. You know, hey, this conference is a little different. We have scientists, and they're going to talk about what they think about UFOs. So I thought that was pretty cool. And we got a lot of good feedback on UFO conferencing.
I'll have to take a look at that. I didn't get it. I'm on the other side of the country. There's so many of these. I'd like to attend if I could find a way. I'm glad to hear that you've actually come across an educator that is putting something like this together that's accredited. Because again, I think it's a huge topic. And again, even using your website, your investigations, you know, techniques and strategies would be a perfect groundwork, a boilerplate for classes like that, where you teach people, hey, it's not about looking for flying saucers. It's about looking at everything and trying to distinguish what's what.
Yeah, and I have a lot of people, you know, on Twitter fans and Facebook that are becoming kind of my mini investigators, and they're out there sending me photos, and I'm not just trying to debunk them. I'm showing them how to debunk them. So, you know, yesterday was a good example. You know, somebody tweeted me something, some type of UFO in Australia, and it took me 5 minutes to disclaim it. But I showed people how to do it. I told them, okay, this is how you look for anomalies in a photo and detect whether it's a bogus one or not. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm not just saying, okay, this is a fake. I'm showing people why I think it's a fake. And so they're better observers. You know, I like to use the Sherlock Holmes quote. There's a lot of people that see, but there's a lot that don't observe, and that's a big difference. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to teach the community, or people that do want to be investigators or just interested in the subject, that just, you know, there's a lot of garbage on the internet, just, you know, YouTube and just thousands of websites just posting garbage. Not that they're all garbage. There's some really good websites out there that are trying to do the right thing, but then there's people out there that intentionally want to flood the swamp with more garbage.
Right. Well, and you know, the other thing, Antonio, I find just really interesting is there's so many people, and you know, you hit upon that, there's so many people that want to spend so much time doing the hoaxing, and some of it is pretty, the talents that they have to do things with Photoshop and film and you know, I've seen some stuff out there that's just crazy and interesting. I do respect the people that say, hey, this is fake, I just made this, you know, to show my talent off. But it's sad when you get people like that that just consistently want to keep producing that type of stuff, and then organizations like you and MUFON and so many others go out and do the investigate, sure. and you just waste a ton of time.
Yeah, MUFON, you know, I'm a MUFON investigator, STAR Team investigator. I'm also the assistant director of Maryland, and I see the same thing at MUFON. We have a system called the CMS where the reports come in, and sadly, you know, it's an open source reporting system, so anybody can go on and report stuff and upload pictures, and it's just flooded with garbage, and it's hard to, you know, as an investigator, to go on the database and look for some really good cases, and there's some really good, interesting cases in the database, but, you know, I've seen people upload pictures of their butt, just people pulling hoaxes and pranks, and then it's flooding the gates, you know, and it's sad, and it's hard to pull out the really true people who need help or want some answers, and I get that at my website too, people pulling my leg and submitting bogus reports intentionally and just wasting our time.
When you go through, when you look at your website with your classic UFOs, the majority of these, are these ones that, that you and your team and your group, your organization have kind of delved through and think pretty much at the end of the day they're truly, you know, not of this world?
Not really. A lot of the classics photos is kind of like I wanted to do a montage of what people have been reporting, you know, from, you know, the late 1800s to now, and I let people make their decision. That's why I report. I always put like, what do you think about this photo? They're UFOs at the end of the day. I don't know what they are, You know, people snap photos of something in the sky. And that's what you get a lot, is like, here is a photo, but you don't get the full story. You never get the where was it taken, who took the photo, what type of camera was used. And those are all important in the investigative process. I can't just take a photo, you know, especially if it's anonymous, oh my God, here's this photo. And when I do my photo forensics, I look at it and say, ooh, well, it's not a fake. It's a real photo. But just because you have a flying disc or something in the sky, that doesn't mean that it's extraterrestrial. We can't make that leap yet. Because a lot of these photos in this classic database that we have could be explained possibly as man-made. When I look at the research I've done, I look at a couple of coincidences, especially at the photos. In the 40s and 50s was your classic disc. And I know that the government was experimenting on classic disc aircraft. In the 60s and 70s, it was the age of the boomerang. And if you look at military or government experiments, they were working a lot on those type of aircrafts. And now it's your classic black triangle and diamonds and things like that. Well, we know that the government's working on those type of things. As technology, man-made technology has advanced in the last 67 years, the UFO phenomena has been kind of following those type of advancements. Now, I'm not saying that everything in the sky is man-made, because we do have some reports that we just can't explain, and I know it's not man-made, but at the end of the day, it's classified as unidentified, because I don't have that proof. Oh my God, yes, I have a strange photo. It's extraterrestrial, and people jump to that conclusion without doing any type of investigation.
Right? Do you when people send stuff into you? Do you go through, like a lot of the other researchers, do you go through and take a look, you know, at the meta tags of the digital photos? And
Oh yeah. We do some heavy photo forensics to make sure that the photo matches the witness's story. And interesting that the more advanced software, the more expensive software that people try to use to try to hoax us, the easier it is to detect that they use some type of software. But that's not all photos. We get a lot of photos that are truly genuine, and there's no tampering based on the photo forensics. But it's just a photo. I think the most important tool in the investigative process is the witness interview. Sitting down with the witness, judging their credibility, getting the full story, that's really key to the investigative process, and which I think it's more important. People always say, oh my God, Antonio, this photo. But if I get a photo of a disc or something in the sky, but I don't have a witness, or I don't have a cooperating witness, then we close the investigation. I can't, you know, we don't have time to be chasing rabbit holes. You know, an investigation requires a witness. That's very important in the process, and that's part of the triage. Because if we didn't, we'd have hundreds of cases open. We don't have that, an organization that big to do hundreds of cases a week.
Right, gotcha. You want to take a quick call?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, hold on a second. You know what? I've got to run. Let me just get through. We've got a couple commercials here. I blew through the last break. Got to pay the light bill, Antonio. Our guest tonight is Antonio Paris. His website is aerial-phenomenon.org. Go take a look at it. It's an awesome website, a lot of information. We've got a couple callers. We're going to take a few messages, and we'll be back with Antonio in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to The Fringe Radio Show on KTKK AM 630 in Salt Lake City. Of course, we're live on the Inception Radio Network. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes.
Four years ago, Noemi's husband found work in America. To make ends meet, Noemi needed to find work.
Basically, I needed to get a better English, to increase my skills, to find better experience.
That's when she found Deseret Industries.
They taught me how to be a supervisor.
Every time you donate goods to Deseret Industries, you give people like Noemi the chance to learn valuable job and life skills.
Deseret Industries was really wonderful with me.
Deseret Industries, getting the most out of what you've given.
Becca worked from home and her friends envied her. No commute, they'd say. And while no commute was great, Becca knew the flip side. No climbing in the car to get away from work. Work was always with her. Becca's big temptation was evenings, office time without the business phone ringing. And those evening labors often cost her time with her family to just enjoy being with them. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Lady Lodge. In God's infinite wisdom, he provides the antidote to overwork. It's called the Sabbath, the balance between rest and work. The Sabbath is our chance to resist our workaholic tendencies and to accept God's timing as part of the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
The Legal Corner is brought to you by the law offices of Jennings and Madura, dedicated to integrity and professionalism. At the center of every family law matter is a family. We understand that. That's why our practice is solely devoted to family law. We understand the complicated and sensitive nature of divorce and its associated issues. We will work with you to protect your rights and provide workable solutions while always keeping in mind your family's best interests. As part of that process, you can rest assured you will always have the final say on how we proceed. Let us serve you. Call 801-883-8325. That's 801-883-8325. Or online at JenningsandMadura.com.
Roswell, UFOs, flying saucers, alien abduction. Are we alone? Information regarding this and many other questions about the unknown are only a click away at www.theufostore.com. Theufostore.com offers hundreds of DVDs about UFOs, aliens, crop circles, conspiracies, Bigfoot, suppressed science, ancient mysteries, and the latest DVD releases like Alien Files 5 DVD set. Log on to www.theufostore.com and request a free UFO store catalog. To receive a free catalog by mail, call 541-523-2630. That's 541-523-2630. Theufostore.com, the largest selection of UFO products on the internet.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Fringe Radio Show. Tonight, our guest is Antonio Paris. Again, Antonio, thank you for putting on the midnight coffee and sharing your experiences with everybody here in Salt Lake.
Sure, no problem. I'm actually glad to be here.
We've got a caller. Let's go ahead and take one real quick. Caller, good morning. Welcome to K-Talk. You're on with Antonio.
Yes, your Men in Black footage. There was a case, a UFO case involved that, was there more to that than, I mean, were the people in that hotel, were they, were their phones, did they ever experience anything else like strange cars out front or their phones bugged or any other thing that went into that?
That's an interesting case. And the main witness of that case is claiming to have had paranormal activity after the Men in Black visitation, and I found that kind of interesting because he said that prior to the Men in Black visitation, there was no paranormal activity in the house, and he actually said it was more like poltergeist activity. So after the Men in Black visitation at his home, things will be moving around, things will fall out of the cupboards, chairs will move in front of him, and he also claimed to have had a strange white van following him in the mornings, following him at work. He's reported it to the police, and then the van would just take off. And that's interesting because I've had a second case about Men in Black that I really haven't kind of looked in too much into it because the witness didn't want publicity. But she also claimed that after Men in Black visitation, she was also having paranormal activity in the house. So I found that very interesting that we had two Men in Black cases that were also somehow some type of paranormal activity related to that too. So I found that pretty interesting.
But what did there was? How did this all get started? Why were they? Why did they come to the motel?
We don't know. Okay, we have to go back a little bit. I don't know who those two Men in Black were. I don't know if it was a hoax. I don't know if there was a hoax in part of the team. I don't know the hotel. I don't know if the hotel was part of the hoax or if there even was a hoax. I have an interesting UFO case where two alleged Men in Black came into the hotel and harassed the staff. What I do find interesting is that after the interviews with the hotel staff, they were frightened. You know, I don't know if somebody was trying to hoax the hotel, but it's interesting that it's a very interesting case. We have two unidentified men coming into the hotel to have really frightened, shaken up some of the staff. Some of the staff actually quit their jobs because they were scared and left the hotel, including the main witness, finally left the hotel. And we were not able to identify those guys. You know, we looked for videos of them leaving the parking lot, what type of car did they come in. We researched this thing for about a year, and we truly have an unidentified case, a case where two men, they look like Men in Black. You know, when you look at the way they're dressed, and I don't know what their purpose was. You know, they came in, they questioned the staff, they harassed the staff, they were looking for the main witnesses, and it's a very interesting case.
Where was it at?
This was in Niagara Falls.
Can you, maybe if you could, Antonio or Ryan, kind of back up a little bit. Is this the one, every now and then, if I'm talking the right, thinking of the right case, is this the one where there's some surveillance video, got a couple of guys coming through the front door?
So was it somebody? The case goes back a few years,
okay.
And what happened was the hotel manager and the hotel security officer, the senior security officer, were outside, right outside from the hotel in Niagara Falls, the Marriott in Niagara Falls, and they observed a giant black triangle come out of the falls and fly over the hotel. And then a few weeks later, two men in black came to the hotel looking for these two men, the two witnesses, because they reported it. They reported the UFO sighting. I know the sighting happened because it was all over the media, especially in Niagara Falls. There's a couple of newspapers reported it, several witnesses from all over the area reported the black triangle. We were not able to identify the black triangle. And then the witness also came forward and said, hey, these two strange men came to the hotel looking for me. Here's the video from the hotel lobby. And so he sent us the raw video from the lobby, and there it is, two men in black coming in looking for the witnesses who reported the Black Triangle. So very strange case.
And then, as we were ready
to wrap up the case, he calls back and says, Antonio, there's more to it. Now I'm getting paranormal activity in the house, and I think I'm being surveilled by this white van. And then he moved. The witness moved. They moved out of their home to a different home, and they're still getting the paranormal activity. And even as late as this April, he told me that the white van is still following him.
You know, that brings back something that has, you know, that brings back the thing that this has something to do with consciousness and when Grant Cameron interviewed Will Smith, he said that, you know, this all has to do with psychic and consciousness. But anyways, that's, you answered my question. That's that case just gives me the creeps. It gives me nightmares, really. I don't have nightmares, but it's a pretty creepy case, if you think about it. I don't know if I could, I'd probably go crazy if I was being followed like that. But anyway, any other cases that you have?
Yeah, are there any other cases, Antonio, you can talk about that you guys have dug into to... That's what I'd like to hear about, is some of the kind of the unique ones.
There's a good handful of unique cases where we kind of sat back and said, wow, we don't know what this is. This is strange. We had a recent one in Baltimore where a kid woke up in the middle of the night and claimed to have had some type of entity, alien entity, in his room and attempting to put an implant in his arm. And so he called us, we come over, and very credible guy, you know, is going to college. His dad was a doctor who claims that there's no reason for his son to lie. And he showed us the scar, and he put the, allegedly, he said he woke up in the middle of the night a second time and found the object embedded in his arm. So he took the object and put it in a Ziploc bag, and the following day it disappeared. It kind of burned through. At first we thought it was a hoax. Oh, yeah, big deal. It's a hole in the bag, et cetera. But it was an interesting case because at a conference, maybe a couple months ago, I was listening to an experiencer, and he talked about recently that he too took a some type of object that he found in his body, and he put it in a Ziploc bag, and it too, right in front of him, kind of fizzled away and burnt away through the bag. And I found that interesting, that, oh wow, now I have two cases that are kind of similar. So I found that very interesting, that people are claiming to pull alien objects out of their body, and once they reach the air, the oxygen or the atmosphere, that they kind of just disappear and they fizzle away. So that's interesting.
Well, the again, that the Men in Black thing, I found that interesting. Again, I kind of remember now when you're talking about it. At first, I get a lot of emails and a lot of stuff about different Men in Black type of experiences. But the implants, do you get contacted by a lot of people that feel that they have had some sort of implant put in? I mean, is that something that comes to you quite often? The thing is, the different implants, like, Dr. Lear has removed a few. Actually, we had a guest on the show here some months back, which we're going to get back on with Dr. Lear. Timothy Cullen out of Nebraska had an implant, little glass-looking thing. I mean, you would just say it's a shard of glass to the layman, but when it's when you dig into a little bit deeper, it's more than a shard of glass. But is that something pretty common that comes across your group as people that feel that that they've had something inserted in them?
Not really. I'd say I get maybe one or two, max three cases a year, where the person claims to have something, and they'll send me mammograms and x-rays and those type of things, and you'll see, like, some type of very small foreign object in them, and that's all I see. You know, I always ask, well, you know, can you pull it out? Can you have surgery? And usually they don't want to do that for many reasons. A, they don't have the money, or B, if, you know, one good example, we have a guy up in Pennsylvania who has something claimed to have been abducted and has objects in his leg, and he's compelled by some unknown reasons not to remove it. And he's gone all the way, like, to the hospital to get ready, you know, okay, I'm going to remove it today. And then he turns around. He doesn't know why. So not many cases, but we do get on occasion one or two cases where somebody does have something in their leg, but we don't have it physically in our hands. Oh, wow, what is this object? So that would be a cool case, you know, but we'll see what happens in the future.
Well, again, I'm sure you you get a lot of people that that come to you with a lot of unique and different things. I've got a question for you that came in, Antonio. It says, Antonio, with your open admittance to not really specialize in UFO abduction encounters, how do you view the Betty and Barney Hill story or Travis Walton's encounter?
I look at it from an outsider. I think something happened to these people. And what's interesting is that there are just as many stories on these guys that claim that they were abducted, and there is also just as many stories that will debunk their experiences. I actually met Travis Walton in October a couple months ago at a MUFON, and we spoke for about an hour, and nice guy, very genuine, very cordial, friendly guy, and I don't think he's hoaxing us. You know, I think something really traumatic happened to him. You know, and even some of his friends, you know, during that night, alleged something happened. Again, at the but, I personally do believe something happened to him. But my question is, was it extraterrestrial? Was it an alien abduction? Where is the actual proof other than just a story? I believe the guy, something happened, but it's for me, it's a little different. I'm not looking for stories. I'm not, you know, there's too many of them out there. There's too many Travis Walton stories out there. His happened to be brought into the limelight in media because of the movie, but there are many more stories like the Travis Walton that are out there, but at the end of the day, they're just stories. You know, we don't have physical, hard evidence. I'm not discounting that something didn't happen to them. A lot of these people that sit down with me, I'm genuinely sincere, you know, that something happened to them, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for stories. I'm looking for proof.
Right, and you know the thing too, something that I've had the honor to interview a lot of people who have claimed to have been abducted. I have not had Travis on the show, but I've had Randy Long, Melinda Leslie. Matter of fact, Sandy Nichols was just on the other night.
Yep.
And I think at the end of the day, I agree with you. Something probably happened. But I've been doing a lot of my own research on sleep paralysis. And
that's huge, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, some of the symptoms of it definitely you could term them, you know, you could have them with the hallucinations and stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot of, the mind can play a lot of tricks. There's a lot of things that could happen there. Hey, Antonio, we've got an NBC News break coming up. In just a
great
little bit, can we keep you around for another go around after the news?
Yeah, I can stay for about another 20 minutes.
Okay, we've got we've got just about 5 minutes of news, and then we'll pick you up and we can wrap up in a little bit. Our guest tonight is Antonio Paris, Alien. Oh, wait a minute. I got to go back to his page here. I'm clicking too many things. Ariel-phenomena.org. We're honored to have him on the show. We'll be right back with Antonio on the other side of the news break.
NBC News Radio, I'm Mara Schiavocampo. Lawmakers are divided over the justification and extent of the government's monitoring of all U.S. phone calls. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham supports the previously secret program.
President Bush started it. President Obama's continuing it. We need it from my point of view.
Democrat Senator Barbara Mikulski says she read about the extent of the program in a newspaper.
It was like, oh, God, not one more thing. And not one more thing where we're trying to protect America and then it looks like we're spying on America.
The Washington Post and Britain's The Guardian are reporting the existence of another secret program. It scours emails and internet traffic. Most economists are predicting slight job gains for May. The Labor Department's unemployment report is due out this morning. The jobless rate is at 7.5%. Starting next month, possessing a small amount of marijuana in Vermont will result in civil fines. That's kind of like getting a parking ticket. This is NBC News Radio. Tropical storm Andrea is losing strength as it drenches Florida and takes aim at Georgia and the Carolinas. Meanwhile, Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Seidel says this is just the first named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season.
Following Andrea, there's nothing really to worry about on our beaches, but we've got a long way to go. The peak of the hurricane season is September 10th.
The Queen's husband, Prince Philip, has been hospitalized. NBC's Keir Simmons in London.
There is concern here for the health of Prince Philip, who is 91 now and has undergone treatment for a number of ailments in recent years.
Prince Philip will undergo surgery today for an unspecified abdomen problem. Miami was up by 3 points heading into the fourth quarter, but San Antonio came out on top when it mattered. The Spurs take game one of the NBA Finals 92-88 over the Heat. In a losing effort, LeBron James had 18 points, 18 rebounds, and 10 assists for an NBA Finals triple-double. I'm Mara Schiavocampo, NBC News Radio.
Here's a surprising summertime fact from new Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. We all know that irritants like bug bites and poison ivy can make you itch. But what you might not know is how. Actually, it's the histamines your body creates in reaction to these irritants that make you miserable. But now that scratch has met its match. New Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. Its maximum strength itch medicine blocks your itch-causing histamines fast for long-lasting relief. New Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. The relief you've been itching for. Use as directed.
Golfsmith and TaylorMade want to help you give Dad the best Father's Day ever with exclusive deals on the hottest gear in golf. Give the game-changing TaylorMade R1 driver and get $50 instant savings plus a $25 Golfsmith gift card. Save $100 instantly on any 8-piece Rocket Blades iron set and score a $50 Golfsmith gift card because the gift that never stops giving is a better game. Give Dad his day only at Golfsmith.
Global investors are waiting for the U.S. Labor Department's May employment report due before Wall Street opens on Friday. Traders are watching labor market data closely for any clues as to when the Federal Reserve might begin to scale back its $85 billion a month bond buying program, which has supported stock prices. Economists polled by MarketWatch look for a jobless rate of 7.5% and 164,000 jobs added to non-farm payrolls, both numbers unchanged from April levels. Speculation about the jobs report and Fed monetary policy caused market jitters on Thursday. Trading was very choppy, but stocks ended the day higher, breaking a two-session losing streak. The Dow Industrials rose 80 points, NASDAQ gained 22. Ahead of the jobs report, Asian markets were lower. In Japan, the Nikkei closed down 0.2% in more roller coaster trading. Hong Kong's Hang Seng is off more than 1%. The dollar is trading at 96.3 yen. I'm Charlie Turner at MarketWatch.com.
$3 per yard. That's right, only $3 per yard. Don't buy new, buy two-day-old carpet. Our carpet comes from large, high-end conventions and shows and has only been used for 2 days. It has never been stretched, so we can't sell it as new, but it is just like new. Visit our new showroom in Draper. Call for directions. 888-968-1913. We have a very large inventory of carpet immediately in stock. 888-968-1913. That's 888-968-1913. Or go to our website, $3carpet.com. That's $3carpet.com. Whether you're a homeowner or property manager, we're here for you. Most of our customers save 40 to 60% on their carpeting. So call now, 888-968-1913. Visit our new showroom in Draper. Call for directions, 888-968-1913. Or go to our website, $3carpet.com. Welcome back to the Fringe Radio Show. Our guest tonight is Antonio Paris. His website is aerialphenomena.org. Again, Antonio, thank you so much for being with us here this evening.
Sure, no problem.
So your book, your website has just got so much information. The book that you wrote, can you tell us a little bit about that, Aerial Phenomenon? Was it the research group and everything that you're doing kind of pushed you that direction?
Kind of. Yeah, the book is really it really has nothing to do with debating the existence of extraterrestrial life. It's really about the investigative process that we use to investigate UFOs, the tools of the trade, very important, synopsis of some of the cases that we've investigated. There's 50 of them in the book. And then my vision for reviving ufology for the future. So it's a really easy book to read. I intentionally wrote it in a language that's easy to read. It's not full of big scientific jargon, unlike that, 10-year-old could read the book. And I wrote it so that it can be read, in a day or two, and not, a big fat book that you have to lug around. For the most part, most of the reviews have been very well, very good book. And it's kind of also written to get people interested in the subject. Wow, this is a really interesting subject. So this is how we do UFO investigations. This is what I need to buy for my toolkit, and that's what the book's about. So,
What do you tell people there's so many people that want to go out and maybe not be ufologists, but just a piece of advice from you and from your team and your group. How do I put this? There's a lot of people that want to capture pictures of UFOs. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, we all want to see one. In my lifetime, I'm 50 years old, I've seen two. I know what I saw. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. If they are craft of this world, I will say that we have got some absolutely unbelievable, amazing things.
Sure.
What do you suggest people? I mean, good digital cameras. Do you encourage Sky Watch parties or Star Watch parties, or is it just happenstance that people that capture these photos at the right time in the right place?
So random, we look for patterns. That's what we accept all UFO cases. We look for patterns of whether or not there's a more activity in one location than another, and we'll do some type of analytics to maybe say, okay, this part of the country there's a lot of UFO activity. Let's go set up the cameras over there, maybe capture something. We haven't found that yet. You're right. It's so random. People just happen to be at one location, and on some occasions, it's multiple witnesses happen to be at a location, and oh my God, what is that? And if they're lucky enough, they're able to snap a photo of it. One of my colleagues, Paul, always says, UFOs don't like to be hunted. like the show UFO Hunters. I do, however, encourage sky watches. We just did one 2 weeks ago, right outside of Baltimore. We set up night vision cameras, very clear night, beautiful night for not just UFO watch, but for stargazing. We educated, so that's a satellite. We know that. How do I know that's a satellite coming over? Well, here's the database. It's going to tell me it's going to pass over at 8 p.m. I do encourage people get themselves, if they really want to do this, get yourself a nice digital camera. It doesn't have to be an expensive camera. Get yourself a good laptop. In the book or, even on my website, there's a good list of little things that you should have on you if you want to be an investigator. I think the biggest tool in the toolkit for purposes is a good motivation to find the truth,
right,
and you have to be open-minded. We get a lot of cases where they turn up to be nothing and you wasted days or months of investigating, but I have a little chart called Antonio's Believo Spectrum. On one end of the spectrum, you got the hardcore believer. And no matter what you tell them, aliens exist. And then the other end of the spectrum, you have the non-believer. No matter what you tell them, UFOs don't exist. I try to encourage everybody to be in the middle of that spectrum, is to be open-minded to both ends. Always accept the person's story. Never immediately disclaim them. Listen to their story, accept their story. And let the investigative process determine the outcome of the case. Don't let your biases shape the investigation. All my investigators are trained to follow a process from A through Z written in our handbook, and that leads to the conclusion of the case. I tell them, don't let your biases, because we all have biases, don't let your biases dictate the outcome of the case. Follow A through Z, and at the end of your process, you will come to a conclusion, and that's important.
Well, and again, your book, Aerial Phenomena, that kind of covers a lot of these things, so if people want to, and I think it's important, I mean, your team, obviously, you are very dedicated researchers, your group. I mean, this is your passion. You're going down a little different path than the average person. But I would assume the book talks about having the proper tools, as you mentioned. And if you're going to do it, if you feel that this is a hobby, or maybe I shouldn't say hobby, but if you want to do this type of research, put a little bit of time and effort into it, and a little bit of organization.
Yeah, and I always recommend, if you really want to do this, even if it's on your own, join the MUFON organization. Take the test. It's the field investigator manual. You order that. You take the test. It's like 75 questions. It's a take-home test. And it's a really good way of learning the basics of what an investigator is supposed to do. And you take it from there. If you want to continue with MUFON or do just be your own private detective, investigator. But for a good starting point, I always recommend everybody, join MUFON, take the test, read my book, or read other books out there regarding the same topic, and then take it from there. There are a lot of people who just don't want to be part of a bigger team and just want to do this on an individual basis, and that's cool. But I always recommend that there are some credible organizations out there that kind of have a good training program to do this kind of stuff.
Where can our listeners get your book at?
They can just go to Amazon and just type in Antonio Paris,
okay,
or Aerial Phenomena. They can go on my website. There's a little store there. We sell the book and a couple of little things. Or just email me and I'll send it to you. We make no profits. So the little money I make goes to my team. For gas money, to go to the investigation, to buy a flashlight, or to buy the little things like that. So all proceeds that we get go straight back to the team.
Which, again, just furthers it, keeps it moving forward. Antonio, I'll let you go. I know that you've got
to
get up. I appreciate it. I mean, it's early in the morning. But, again, I want to thank you for being here. Do you have any upcoming events that you want to talk about real quick? We're on the other side of the country, but,
Yeah. Okay, so July 6th is UFO Awareness Day, and it's a free conference in Philadelphia. You can just Google Mainline MUFON, and that's going to be a really good day if you're out on the East Coast to come to Philly and learn about UFOs. There's a bunch of speakers there, including myself. October 5th is the big UFO conference also in Philadelphia, and all the hosts from the show UFO Hunters will be there. Travis Walton will be there. I will be there. And just a whole list of speakers will be there for a three-day conference. So that's a really good conference.
Is that John Ventry's thing that he puts on?
Yes, that's him.
Okay. Yeah, he's a good friend. We've had him on the show several times.
Yeah. October 28th, I think, is another big one in Baltimore called Mysteries of Sky and Space. I'll be at that conference as well. And then January is my conference. More details to come, but that'll be UFOCon 14. So that'll be our second conference. And this conference in January that we're doing will also be in the Washington, D.C. area. And we're going to concentrate specifically on UFO cases on this conference. We'll have about 8 to 10 really good UFO cases, nuts and bolts, with some physical proof.
Gotcha.
So that's a good conference coming up.
Gotcha. Hey, we got a quick caller. You want to take one more and then we'll let you go?
No problem.
Okay. Caller, good morning. You're on K-Talk. You're on with Antonio Paris.
Hey, Pat, I was wondering, what are you going to do the rest of the night? Are you going to play Best Of, or...
Yeah, I may pick up some old time radio show or something, or just take some call-ins.
I was thinking about hanging on the line for after.
You're more than welcome to.
sorry to the guest. I don't really have any other questions.
No, that's fine. Hey, Antonio, we'll let you grant. Ryan's one of our normal callers from the Northwest. I just want to thank you again, Antonio. I know it's late where you're at. You got to get some sleep. Thank you so much, my friend, for being here tonight. And let's stay in touch, and I'd love to get you back on again.
Thanks, buddy. No problem. Have a good night.
Okay, Antonio, thank you so much. Have a good night. Our guest, Antonio Paris, his website, aerialphenomena.org. Ryan, we're going to take a quick commercial break here for a couple of minutes to pay the light bill. I'll keep you on the line, and we'll be back in just a little bit.
All right.
You're listening to the Fringe Radio Show on KTKK AM 630 in Salt Lake City. And, of course, we're live on the Inception Radio Network and the ParaQuest Network. We'll be back with Ryan in just a couple of minutes.
GEICO presents a thank you letter from your motorcycle.
Hey, I just wanted to say thanks. Ever since you saved money on your motorcycle insurance with GEICO, we've been going out a lot more. When we're together, things just work. My pipes rumble, and my engine screams like an eagle. A happy eagle, not one of those angry eagles. You know? Yeah, you know.
GEICO could help you save on your motorcycle insurance, and that should make you and your bike very happy.
Hiya, Fred.
Hello, Beth.
You seen Eddie?
Yeah, he's in my workshop picking out tools to borrow.
Well, tell him I took the car to the Parts Plus Car Care Center for service.
So he'll be carless? Well, I hope he doesn't want me to run him around doing errands.
Oh, don't worry about that. I've got him rebuilding the handrail on the back steps.
Oh, there goes my good soul.
He'll be busy with that all afternoon. And besides, Parts Plus won't keep me long. They never do.
Now hurry back.
For the location nearest you, go to PartsPlus.com.
The Legal Corner is brought to you by the law offices of Jennings and Madura, dedicated to integrity and professionalism. At the center of every family law matter is a family. We understand that. That's why our practice is solely devoted to family law. We understand the complicated and sensitive nature of divorce and its associated issues. We will work with you to protect your rights and provide workable solutions while always keeping in mind your family's best interests. As part of that process, you can rest assured you will always have the final say on how we proceed. Let us serve you. Call 801-883-8325. That's 801-883-8325. Or online at JenningsandMadura.com.
Roswell, UFOs, flying saucers, alien abduction. Are we alone? Information regarding this and many other questions about the unknown are only a click away at www.theufostore.com. Theufostore.com offers hundreds of DVDs about UFOs, aliens, crop circles, conspiracies, Bigfoot, suppressed science, ancient mysteries, and the latest DVD releases like Alien Files 5 DVD set. Log on to www.theufostore.com and request a free UFO store catalog. To receive a free catalog by mail, call 541-523-2630. That's 541-523-2630. Theufostore.com, the largest selection of UFO products on the internet.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Fringe Radio Show. Ryan, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Pat. Oh, I usually listen to late-night radio, and there's nothing like radio. You can't replace it. It makes you think. You don't have all the visual graphics that distract you. There's one other show I listened to before this one, and I listened to yours. It's probably about the two shows that I prefer the most. I think you do a good job as a host.
Well, thank you.
You don't spend the whole time promoting something
I need to, but I don't.
Well, if you have to, you got to pay the light bill, but you know what I mean, though.
No,
you let the guest talk.
I do. And I don't try to ask a million questions either. I don't know. I've had some people comment and say that you don't ask enough questions, and I think just letting people come on and talk about their craft is, and I don't mean their spacecraft, but I think it's the best way to go. It's more of an intimate interview, and let them be themselves. But yes, thank you for the kind compliments.
Well, I'm really glad that I'm really actually kind of glad today that the people found out that what's really going on, that they're bringing in phone records and Verizon, and now we're hearing that Hotmail, Yahoo, AOL, and Facebook are all giving them our records. I think it's cool that they got outed. They must be wondering what they're going to do now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've heard some different talk. I know when I was listening to the other station down the dial on the way in a night or two ago, I know there's a couple of free email some groups that are popping up now that are providing email services that aren't scanned through. Did some other development take place today? I did not get a chance to check any of the news.
Yeah, the only other development is that they're also apparently taking emails from Gmail, Facebook, Yahoo, and all these programs as part of the spy thing that was outed yesterday.
A little bit. Maybe you could enlighten me.
NSA is everyone's phone records are going straight to the NSA. They don't read the. They don't know what you said. They just know who you called, and just in case something happens. And you know, part of it may I say, well, yeah, we need to protect, keep ourselves protected. But then the other side of myself says that this side of this goes a little too far to where, you know, the government's coming and prying into your personal stuff. It's just. You haven't been following that story?
I haven't, no.
Oh, been busy at work?
Moving and doing my other job.
You're an IT guy, though, right?
Uh-huh. I do that, yep. And I've been it's been crazy.
So, as far as your show, what you guys are going to be at the Paracon? I saw the banner on the internet there that you guys are going to be at Para something.
Yeah, we're going to be at the we're going to do the show live from we're going to be at the in Las Vegas at the Las Vegas Paracon. It's at Binion's Gambling Hall and Hotel, the 23rd, 24th, 25th of August, the cool time of the year in Las Vegas. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do the show live. That show, I mean, that venue, of course, leans a little more, a little bit of UFO, a little bit of ufology, but for the most part, it leads heavily toward the paranormal and the psychic. And we've been working with them, and we're going to be down there doing the show live every night. It'll be Vegas is an hour behind us. They're on Mountain Time. We're on Mountain Standard, so we're an hour ahead. Once we cross down there, it's an hour back. We're on Pacific, you know, linked up with Pacific Time. But I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I hope your show's doing good. You work your tails off, and I just hope that you have a good audience, and I hope that people are tuning in and downloading and. You know, it makes it worthwhile.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of work to get the guests on, but it's a lot of fun. And I believe all of us, Carol and my friend Lee, who I talk about all the time, he's definitely behind the scenes. We believe in this. At the end of the day, I think that shows like this need to be here. I think it's great all the shows that are done on the internet, all the podcasts, and again, like Inception Radio. I mean, that's how we've met so many great listeners. But the terrestrial AM radio it gets it out to a broad audience in a metropolitan area, and we're working with some other stations right now to hopefully get picked up in a couple other parts of the country and get the ball rolling. We'll never be like the guy down the band, but I'm not looking for that at all.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's commercial talk radio, and he does a great job and stuff. But I do. I really like to bring the researchers on. I like to bring on people like yourself who believe in this, who are people that are open-minded. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. And hopefully if we convert one or two listeners, that's a big thing.
Yeah. Well, I suggest everybody support the show and tune in and everything else. The guest you had a few days ago, the lady that worked at NASA, I found that a very interesting program. She had a very articulate way of speaking and her experience knowing the pilot. I couldn't believe that. It just crushes you.
Stephanie Osborne?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a great guest. She's an author, of course. She's a physicist. Her credentials read huge. We're actually talking to her, of course. You and probably a lot of the other listeners have heard me mention we're going to do a big event in 2014 here in Salt Lake City, kind of in the planning stages right now of things, to do a big event, to do a UFO, paranormal, cryptozoology, kind of everything. We need a big event like that here in this town, and we've asked her to actually come and speak. And her story about Columbia and everything, it was very touching.
Yeah. So this story about this, you got the government prying into everything now. We got them prying into, they're reading your emails. They know who you're calling. I don't get a little overboard paranoid about it, but it seems like they're just, some of it going a little too far, with these wiretaps, and I don't know what's wrong with our government these days. I don't know. I'm not making a whole lot of sense here, but.
No. There's the privacy factor is just it's just not there. Of course, here in Salt Lake, we've got the new NSA supercomputer or whatever the heck you want to call it. That's the data center here. But I think people need to know that too. Like with Gmail, so many of us just sign up for things too quickly.
Right.
And I do that. I've done that. I've been a victim of ruining a couple of laptops by clicking on links that I shouldn't have clicked on. Just a short story. The other day I reloaded my machine, one of my laptops that I use for work, and I'm pretty careful about what I do. And this thing popped up, and it looked like an Adobe update. And when I clicked it, it was no Adobe update. It was the virus from hell. It took me about 7-8 hours to get the machine back to where it was. I think we all do that. I think that's just human nature. We tend to click a little too quickly. And, with Gmail and Yahoo and all that, you need to read the fine print.
Yeah, I was seeing on the news today that they had the scam that's going on where an FBI message will pop up on your screen and say your computer is, you need to pay,
yes.
And it will seize your computer up and it will say FBI, seized by the FBI, and it will say.
That's the one I got.
Oh, you got that one?
Yeah, and it turned on the cam and took a picture of me.
Oh, my God, I need to make sure I don't get that one. That one.
That's exactly what it was, and I was on no questionable sites or anything.
Yeah.
I was doing some research for one of my customers on something, and I went to this site, and it looked totally legit, and it was an Adobe box that popped up. It said, oh, it's time to update your Flash player, and I didn't even think twice about it, man. I just went over and clicked it, and then the minute I clicked it, I knew I was kind of done and dead right then and there. And that's what it did. It took hold, and it popped up a thing. My cam came on. The cam popped on, and it took a picture of me. And it put up that FBI warning thing that said, you're looking at things you shouldn't.
I wonder where the picture went.
I don't know. I think at the end of the day, it probably, you know, and same thing. And then, you know, go to, if, you know, but for $49, go to Western Union and do a transfer, and we'll unlock this for you.
There's this couple up here in Washington that was scamming people, and they set up a shop as a an outfit where if you are if you own a timeshare, they promise to sell your timeshare in a certain amount of fashion, and just pay it $1,000 or pay the certain money and they'll sell it for you. And then they ended up ripping people. I think it was like $30 million this couple did. So I'm
really
glad they caught them. But there's some people out there. You got, you know, it's just I don't know. We live in a crazy planet.
Well, I know, and you know, when we talk about, like you mentioned, with with emails being read, I mean, it, you know, if anybody out there who's listening doesn't believe it, just go out, if you have a Gmail account, especially a Gmail account, just go out there, and I don't care what it is, send yourself an email that says, hey, I need to buy a flashlight, and send it to yourself, and go check your Gmail account maybe 15 minutes later, and you'll see the banners coming right through on the top for companies that sell flashlights. You know?
You know what's weird? This website that I've seen that, I'll check that out. That sounds interesting. But this website where it asks you a bunch of questions, and it's not a scam. It's an optical illusion. It asks you a bunch of questions, and then it tells you to pick the color of an animal and name the animal, and it could be anything. And then it, at the bottom, it predicts what animal you picked. And the reason why is because it has a flicker in the background. You can't see it, but it tells you on the screen to think about this animal, you know, like a subliminal message.
Right.
And I couldn't believe it, you know. But have you been looking at or seen any good movies lately? As far as, have you seen Star Trek?
Yeah, yet? I did. I went and saw Into Darkness. Hey, stay in line. I got another caller. All right?
Oh, okay.
Well, we'll pick another one up. Caller, good evening. Welcome to K-Talk.
Yeah, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good.
Who's this?
Richard.
Hey, Richard, how are you?
Pretty good. I like your late-night programs here. They're fun to listen to.
Well, thank you. We try to be entertaining and yet informative.
Well, you know, it's very entertaining. I'm one of those people that, you know, I've never seen a UFO, and I would give anything to see one, especially the one you've described several times.
Oh, over here on the west side of the valley?
Exactly,
here?
Yeah. I mean, as you described it one day, I was trying to picture this, and I thought, oh, my God, I can't even imagine seeing such a thing.
Well, I know I'm, you know, I at the time I saw it, I had a lot of friends and people that said they probably figured I was partaking in some sort of beverage, and I really wasn't. And I you can believe or not believe, but I know what I saw, and it was just of massive proportion. And I could tell people, if it was from this world, we have got some really cool stuff, because it was just ginormous.
I've never seen one either.
I'd really like to get a photograph of, you know.
Well, being over the Ochre Mountain Range, being over the west side, I mean, I was kind of, you know, as I said on a couple of shows, my biggest fear is that some airliners up at Salt Lake International Airport would hit this thing. But again, at that time of the morning, we don't tend to see too many flights coming in or out. But it was just huge, man. It was just massive.
Maybe they're time travelers. Maybe they're not even. You know. Maybe they're. It just seems like, I don't know. Maybe there's another explanation for what they are besides, you know, aliens.
Maybe. Yeah, time travelers been suggested.
Or interdimensional.
Yeah.
I have a hard time grasping that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows, you know? I mean,
yeah.
If you ever listen to the Randy Long interview that I did with him, he's an abductee, he talks about being in a car with friends, and there's this massive craft that he can see, and his friends can't. I don't know, but you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, one other thing I was wondering, as you were mentioning just a little while ago, this lady from NASA. Could you give me her name again? I want to go take a look at some of the books that she's written.
Stephanie Osborne.
Stephanie, yeah, I didn't get that last name when you gave it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stephanie Osborne. She was very. It was interesting. The emails. She's a very busy lady. A very busy lady. Her husband's a magician, and she leads a real interesting life. She's a night owl. She's up writing all night, and. Yeah, go take a look at some of her books. She's got some really, really cool stuff, but her discussions about NASA were just heartfelt.
Well, the way she described the possibility that, you know, and I had never heard that before, and today it's sort of shocking, but you can understand why they would have to do it if you were in their position, if there was no way you can get Challenger back into Earth. I mean, you wouldn't want to tell them, right?
Oh, you mean Columbia?
Oh, Columbia, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you mean her talking about whether they were alive or not?
Well, I don't know. Maybe your other caller has another. I'd like to hear what he has to say, but.
Well, I'm the one that called in about the spacecraft, about Columbia.
Mm.
And she was very forthright about it. And I could tell it was, you know, I thought later that, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said anything because I recall that she said it was even a year before she could even talk about it. But the thing that, you know, as the person mentioned there on the phone that I found shocking was that she said one of the astronauts was found, when he was found, was autopsied and found he had died of blunt force trauma, i.e. apparently he was alive when he was sucked out of that craft.
Right. Well, yeah, you'd called in, Richard, about the bad taste in your mouth about NASA.
Yeah, yeah.
And I agree with you. I mean, I do, because during all those trials, I can't remember who the director was at the time, but all it was a dog and pony show constantly.
Well, listen, I'm really happy to hear you say that because I didn't want to offend her. I didn't want to offend you, you know, or the program.
No.
But darn it, you know, when you've got some people that are as skilled and as educated as they were that are going to put their lives on the line, I think that, you know, the people, you know, whose lives that they place their, or whose hands they place their lives, ought to really be on the ball about this. I mean, you know, when this guy called in, Beaujolais, you know, the engineer, and said those O-rings are going to give, you know, the weather's too cold, they should have shut it down.
Right.
But like she said, and I agree, it's the bureaucracy.
Right.
You know, it's not scientists making these decisions, and it should be.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the thing that bothers me is that we bailed out the too big to fail banks for I don't know how many trillion dollars, but NASA's budget is just only like 20 billion or something, or I don't know.
Well, I agree with you, and I didn't take offense. I felt the same way. I could see both sides. I think it was a disappointment with NASA, but yet on the other hand, there are hundreds or thousands of people at NASA that, you know, I'm sure, the whole job is to make the mission a success and, of course, put the people that are in the craft first, their safety first. But like you said, with the Challenger accident, I think we got a little too complacent, too. You know, they just kept recycling the thing. And you know, I mean, as sad as it is to see that happened, but sometimes we need a rude awakening, unfortunately a major loss of life, but a rude awakening to kind of put us back in check and say, hey, you know what, we're not perfect and we're human and human error can cost people's lives, and sadly it did.
Yeah, exactly.
So now, did you guys see it when they flew the shuttles around the United States and they paraded them down the streets? Did you guys get a chance to see one?
Not here.
I saw it only on television. I didn't get to see them.
Yeah, I did get to see the shuttle was here. I'm going to say it was back in the 90s. I can't remember who came into town, one of the high government officials. I remember seeing it flying down the valley. It was a shuttle that had flown and then was being delivered back to Florida, and it did make a stop on top of the 747 here. But that was, I'm going to say that was probably 97, 98, something like that.
Yeah.
I miss that thing. It brings back memories thinking about that thing, but...
Did you get the impression that, at least I got the impression when she was talking about this, and you know this space shuttle disaster, that once that foam had blown, you know, through, that NASA either knew or suspected it, but at any rate, it would do no good to check it out, or even if you did check it out, to announce it to the public, and so they just sort of let it go and come what may. Because really the impression I got was, why say anything? Because what are you going to tell them? You're going to burn up on reentry? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's kind of like, can you imagine having that decision?
I don't know. That's what she said. She said, is that a decision you'd want to make, you know?
Tell them that was a good show, or
what are you going to do? Tell them they're going to burn up or not say anything at all? And I thought, yeah, you're not going to say anything at all.
Well, and I think that, I mean, of course, all these missions, they're able to, what do they call it? They go ERV or whatever when they put on the spacesuits and go around the outside of the ship.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean, yeah.
But they didn't have anything to repair it with. So, you know, even if they went and saw the hole or whatever, there was no way to fix it.
Yeah, what are you going to do? But, you know, I've heard two sides of this controversy, or there is a bit of a controversy on the rescue, that it actually could have been done or it may have been possible. She said it was not, so I don't know what the truth is.
Oh, you mean to turn a vehicle around real quick to get...
To send up another shuttle.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about this Felix Baumgartner guy who... I remember that, and I was thinking, my God, you know, this guy, he's at the top of the atmosphere. You know, I'm talking about the high jumper.
The Red Bull guy.
Yeah, I was thinking, man, this is unbelievable.
He was the guy that broke the record previous to that. There was a documentary on him, and he had some problems with his suit that, you know, easily could have killed him. But there's a documentary of this guy going up into that gondola and then coming down, you know. But Baumgartner, yeah, I mean, when you see him come out of that dome, you know, or gondola.
He went through about a million different check items. He checked
And then, I mean, you know, the guy's in space. I mean, you can see the curvature of the Earth. You can see the lighting at the, you know, where it, and the separation of light and dark. I wouldn't do it, but apparently there are people built to take it.
Was he that now? You know, who's the guy? I don't think he's the same guy. But who's the guy that they that straps? He's a pilot for Air France. He's a captain. He's the guy that jumps out of an airplane, puts a carbon fiber tube across like his arms, creates like a wing with these little jet engines. Have you
seen that guy? He flies like a jet.
Yeah.
I've not seen that.
Yeah, yeah. He's he's not a 22-year-old or nothing. He's an older guy. And he's a captain for Air France. He's a 767 or an Airbus captain. And he's got a suit he puts on. I don't know if it's a Red Bull suit or somebody else, but it's like these free jumpers, you know, that look like these flying squirrels, like the guy that just jumped off.
Oh, man, those are fantastic. Have you seen the films of those guys?
Yeah. Well, did you see the guy that just jumped off Everest?
No, I know about it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, he didn't. I don't believe he made it to the summit, but he jumped off the north face. And the one thing is, he made it. He was Red Bull sponsored him, but he didn't realize that the air was so much thinner, and he free fell for quite a while before
that
started
flying.
I'll bet he did. You know.
Well, he must have had some kind of special suit. I mean, wouldn't he freeze on the way down? He must have had.
Yeah.
Well insulated.
Yeah.
You guys ever seen those? I remember going to air shows when they had those old Red Baron planes, and you had a guy standing on top of it.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. You know, but he was tied to a thing, and they'd fly around with him.
The wing walkers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I couldn't do that.
Yeah, take a look at the Jetman thing. That's amazing. How he gets that tube extended and gets those engines lit, I don't know. But he flies for, I mean, he...
He flies a long ways.
Yeah, until they run out of fuel.
Hey, what's your guess? What's your other caller's name?
Richard.
Richard, what other shows on this have you found interesting? As far as Fringe Radio.
Mostly the ones I really like are the ones about abductions and UFOs. Those are the ones that really interest me. And I think they've had a few. Haven't you guys on monsters, things like that, or creatures?
Yeah, we've done a ton of them. I've actually contacted a few guests a couple times, didn't even realize I did it. I know that's terrible to even admit that, but we go through there. You know, it's interesting. There's so many people that you want to have on the show, and the ufologists and the paranormal people, it's a big group, but you can burn, especially when you're doing it six nights a week, you can burn through a lot of them pretty quickly. We're going to have to go back and revisit a few, but there's a ton more that I want to get on, and the timing's a little bit off. I've actually got quite a few pre-shows I'm going to probably start to play, because I get a lot of guests that they don't want to come on at 1 o'clock or midnight. You know, it's just a little bit tough if they're working full time jobs.
Sure, yeah.
But I've got a whole slew of them that are pre-recorded, and I need to get them in the queue and start doing them. But then it's hard to take callers or take questions. You know,
are there any nearby what you might call UFO hotspots
in Utah?
Yeah,
Skinwalker Ranch. You know, but it's
now I've heard a lot about that place, and I've heard that is one strange place.
Yeah, and the activity down there is just off the charts right now.
Really?
Yeah. We're going to do an event. We're working with, we've had Ryan Burns, who wrote Beyond Skinwalker. I refer to him a lot. He's a great guy. He lives down in the Uinta Basin. We're going to have an evening. We're trying to put something together. Don't have it all finalized, but we're going to try to do an evening with him and a couple other people. Here in Salt Lake, do a real nice dinner, very affordable, a nice dinner, and then a presentation by two or three people. Hopefully we'll be able to put that together in July in the next month or so, and we'll talk about it on the show once we've got it all finalized.
How far is Skinwalker Ranch from Salt Lake?
2 hours.
2 hours?
Yeah, it's Duchesne.
Oh, Duchesne.
Yeah.
Are you in Salt Lake, Rich?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's about 2 hours.
Somebody ought to do a documentary film on that, and I'll bet it would be real popular.
Well, there is a couple. George Knapp did a film from KVLA. He's the Las Vegas reporter. I know he hosts Coast to Coast on the weekends sometimes, but he's done some. Jesse Ventura has done a couple things, but there's quite a bit of stuff out there. And matter of fact, we're working right now with Grim Ghost Tours help sponsor the show, and they're actually going to work on putting tours together down there to take people down for a couple hours and then bring them back. So that's something they're hoping to do by the fall.
Interesting.
Hey, Pat, how long have you been on the air?
Here, a couple of years.
You've been doing this a long time, though, right?
I used to be on the air in Chicago. I'm a Chicago native. Didn't do this type of stuff.
Yeah.
But at WJRC in Joliet, Illinois, I was on the air there for a while, long time ago.
I was just curious.
Yeah, and then I had the opportunity to do this show. I've done a lot of other things here with K-Talk over the years, but had this pop up, had the opportunity to grab this, and then talk to management about going to weeknights. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's a lot of fun. No, it's not a bad thing at all. It's a lot of fun, and it's enjoyable. And again, it gives people the opportunity to hear different things, and it's all about being open-minded at the end of the day.
Yeah, I haven't been really watching a lot of movies lately, But I'm just starting to get back into, a lot of times I just turn my TV off because I'm quite frankly, I'm not really impressed with the amount of programming. I mean, you two probably agree that the program used to be a lot different. You know, I remember when Matlock was on and Columbo and good shows like that, like Star Trek. And it just seems like today the shows are just watered down. Am I wrong or?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, one thing I've, just talked to a lot of friends and family about is like movies. They just keep rebooting them and remaking them. It's like, do something different. We're talking about Star Trek. I saw Into Darkness. I thought it was an awesome movie. I highly recommend anybody who hasn't seen it to go see it. It's a true thrill ride. But it's a movie. Enjoy it for what it is at the end of the day. But that's all they do is they remake. I mean, what, Superman's coming out again? How many times can you remake Superman?
Yeah.
You know? But, I don't know. It's times are changing. And again, with these, I don't know what you guys think on these paranormal shows and UFO shows. I think there's a couple of them that are good. And I'll also go out and state that I think some of them are just glorified reality shows, and they're kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Well, your station, I really enjoy it because it's not owned by big corporations, and I think people should tell their friends about it. And, I mean, I've listened to a lot of talk radio. I listen to radio a lot. And this is probably one of the better stations. It's not taken over by big corporations.
No, and that's the owner that's station's been around. Anyone who's living in Salt Lake, I mean, K-Talk's been around forever. And it's gone through its ups and downs. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, but it's just like any station, you know. We've had good years and not so good years and good hosts and not so good hosts. But again, it's not. Matter of fact, I read an article about it the other day on one of the forums and said K-Talk is not polished or perfection. And you know what? The owner saw that and actually enjoyed reading that because, again, it's radio from the heart. The people that do the shows are dedicated. We don't, maybe we don't use the perfect grammar all the time or the shows aren't timed perfectly.
Yeah, but, you don't have a big staff either.
So. No, one-man band most of the time, but that's what makes it fun.
Well, you know what's nice about a program like yours is that you listen to talk radio through the day. And I'll tell you what it really is it's the Republicans and the Democrats at each other's throats, or the conservative talk show hosts and liberal talk show hosts, doing their thing. And, ultimately you really get, fed up with that stuff.
Exactly.
And this is so entirely different. It's such a contrast.
It's such a fight during the day. It's just left versus right. It's like a war.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's just,
and it was that way 5 years ago. It was that way 10 years ago. And it's the same old story.
Well, and I don't want to offend any listeners because I know we've got listeners that listen to the station all the time.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what are you really going to do? I mean, you can sit there and we can talk about writing government and how terrible it is. But at the end of the day, you've got the current president that's there that's not going to change. You know what I mean? The current government is there. Of course, we can talk about elections and being educated and stuff like that. But there's just nothing you're going to do about it today. I'm sorry, you're not.
That's exactly right. And when I hear some of these people, and I'll tell you, every day it's the same old diatribe, about Obama, And I got to tell you that you've expressed my sentiment exactly, because my thought is, what are you going to do about him? You got him for 3+ years or whatever. There's nothing you can do.
Right.
So what are you barking about?
Right.
Because it's useless.
This happens with every president. It happened with Bush. They.
Yeah.
Sure.
So.
And it amounts to nothing.
There's just nothing you can do. And again, I'm not saying that it's bad to talk about that, But, you know, I think all the effort and yelling and screaming can go to something more constructive, maybe within your own life.
You would think, yeah.
Hey, Rich, it was nice talking to you. I'm probably going to hang up now. I think you're getting towards the end.
I am too, guys. I got a minute left, and we got Jim Sumner coming up on the other side of the news. So thank you both for calling in.
You got a great program, and thanks for the time.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, guys. Have
okay.
a good night. Take
night.
Care. Good night. All right, everybody. Fringe Radio is done for tonight. Thank you so much for being there. Tomorrow night, I think we're going to do a best of show. We've got a couple of guests that I don't think are going to be able to make it. I am sorry. Katrina Weedman will be here on Saturday night. She is from, was it Penn State Ghosts, Paranormal State. She'll be here and maybe a surprise guest. We got our Tech Corner guys Saturday night. I may be here tomorrow night. I'm not sure. Maybe we'll just do open lines. We'll see how the day goes. Thank you for all listening. Appreciate you being there. KTKK AM 630. Of course, we're live on the Inception Radio Network. Good night, everybody, and be safe.
NBC News Radio, I'm Tom Graham. U.S. intelligence agencies have a direct tap into the servers of the largest internet companies. NBC's Pete Williams explains.
The ability to watch for suspicious activity as it's happening, as well as to look for stored data.
News of the previously secret government internet monitoring program follows the revelation that the National Security Agency stores all of our phone calls in a massive database. Tropical Storm Andrea is now drenching parts of Georgia as it moves north up the East Coast. Florida will now begin cleanup efforts. This man says a tree fell on his home near Jacksonville.
I expected to see a couple branches on the roof, but nothing like this.
Andrea has lost some of her punch with winds now at 45 miles per hour. Many economists expect another month of job gains for May. The government releases its jobless report later this morning. The current unemployment rate now at 7.5%. This is NBC News Radio. IRS officials heard an earful from some House members yesterday, angry over the agency's lavish spending on conferences.
The top Democrat on the committee, Elijah Cummings, railed against the large jump in IRS conference spending.
In 2007, the conference budget was $13,395,000, and then it more than doubled when we're going into a recession.
That all led to the 2010 conference in Anaheim, the one where the now famous video spoofs were shown, to the cost of $50,000 for their production. Ferris Fink is head of the small business division and the one who played Mr. Spock in the Star Trek gag.
Many of the expenses that were incurred in this 2010 conference were not the best use of taxpayer dollars.
That conference alone cost $4 million. Bob Costantini, NBC News Radio, Washington.
And the San Antonio Spurs beat the Miami Heat last night to win game one of the NBA Finals. Tony Parker points. I'm Tom Graham, NBC News Radio.
After the unspeakable, the Salvation Army speaks hope. Because thanks to your generosity, we are at the scene of disasters from the very beginning until the healing is complete, serving the physical and emotional needs of both victims and emergency responders. Help us rebuild that hope by donating today at 1-800-SAL-ARMY or SalvationArmyUSA.org so that we can continue doing the most good.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-601-7780.
800-601-7780.
800-601-7780.
Apple is reportedly preparing a new program that will allow iPhone owners to trade in their old phone for a new one. That's according to Bloomberg, which says Apple is looking to boost sales of its newer iPhone 5 model with the program. Apple will reportedly team with Brightstar to run the new program. Brightstar is the same company that manages handset trade-in programs for AT&T and others. Motorola Mobility says it reached a settlement with digital video recording pioneer TiVo ahead of a patent trial that was to start in a Texas court next week. Neither company put a monetary value on the settlement. TiVo's been suing pay TV companies that it says use its patented technology in DVRs. Last year, it reached a $250 million settlement with Verizon. U.S. investors await the government's May employment report this morning. Economists believe 164,000 jobs are added to payrolls, with the jobless rate staying at 7.5%. The Dow rose 80 points. European markets are narrowly mixed. I'm Charlie Turner at MarketWatch.com.
You might know me, I'm 50 Cent. You may follow my tweets, my Facebook friends. Odds are a few in 6 degrees separate us. We're that close. What's crazy is 1 in 6 don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. Hunger is too close for us to ignore. So visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find your local food bank to see how you can make a difference. From one close friend to another, let's do this. I'm 50 Cent, and together we are Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I do solemnly swear
I am a federal employee
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
I am a Customs and Border Protection officer, and my job is to keep my country safe
against all enemies.
We work to make sure that the national banking system is safe and sound.
Faithfully discharge the duties of the office.
I believe in giving back.
I am about to enter.
I am proud to work for America.
So help me God.
Every federal employee takes this oath.
And a load of other debt. Wouldn't it be great if it all just went away? 9-year mortgage can change your life.
We paid off all of our bills.
All your debt, including your mortgage, in as little as 9 years?
We will have saved over $313,000 in interest payments.
Even have more money left over each month?
It lowered our monthly payments by a little over $500.
9-year mortgage.
Where have they been all of our life?
If you knew about something like that, you'd want to tell everybody.
Whenever I have a friend or someone that needs this service, I give them the number.
Hi, I'm Larry Ruff, president of 9-Year Mortgage. This is unlike anything you've ever seen before, and it will absolutely not harm your credit. Call for your free CD and learn how you can eliminate all of your debt, including your mortgage, much sooner than you ever dreamed possible. The more debt you have, the more we can help.
Call for your free CD now, 800-383-5310.
This works. Call the number.
Call now for your free CD, 800-383-5310, 800-383-5310.
The following broadcast is brought to you live and in color.
Everybody in Cleveland, low minority, get Obama fall. Keep Obama in president, you know.
There's still kind of a reptilian side of our brain.
And I love Obama.
I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage.
Under my plan of a cap and trade system, electricity rates would necessarily skyrocket.
I felt this thrill going up my leg.
Let me think. My pastor, Jeremiah A. Wright, Jr.
No, no, no. Not God bless America. God damn America.
Where we are no longer a Christian nation.
I have faith that the Constitution will be saved, but it will not be saved in Washington. It will be saved by citizens of this nation who love and cherish freedom.
We are patriotic Americans. We peacefully assemble. We petition our government. We exercise the right to free speech. And we don't understand why the government tried to stop us. I'm not begging my lords for mercy. I'm a born free American woman, wife, mother, and citizen. And I'm telling my government that you've forgotten your place.
And so begins our Thursday show. Hi, Jim Sumter here. Telephone number if you'd like to join us, 1-877-321-4JIM, 1-877-321-4546. Hi, Jim Sumter here. On the web at jimsumter.com. If you want to shoot me an email, it's jim@jimsumter.com. I'm going to share an email I got with a listener, and then I've got a whole bunch of stuff to get into with you. Some really good news for the show and some things that are going to be just real big improvements in what we're doing as a radio show. That I've been really excited about talking to you about, but we just haven't been in a place that I could really get into all of it with you. I'm going to be doing that here in the next few minutes. But I wanted to share something based upon an email I got. It was written by a guy named Doug who listens to us in Roanoke, Virginia. And he said, Jim, I've noticed something over the past several months. It seems like you're getting madder. Is that just me? Or are you? And by mad, he meant, and I said, I want to make sure and say, it was a very nice email, and I appreciate it, Doug. Thank you. But he went on with a lot of other stuff. But he said, I don't mean like mad, like crazy. But I detect an undercurrent of anger in your voice. And I got another email from a woman who listens to the show in Salt Lake City on K-Talk Radio there, who said almost the exact same thing. Jim, are you getting angrier as you get older? And so as I was listening, you know, as I read these two emails, I thought, okay, what's really going on here? And I, you know, as I really thought about it, both these emails came in yesterday, and I really spent some time just thinking about it, because, you know, who wants to listen to an angry guy on the radio? But I didn't want to just say, oh, come on, it's not about being angry, or yes, I'm righteously indignant, and we have the right to be. I wanted to really think this through for a minute. Well, actually, I spent a lot more than a minute on it. I wanted to really think this through and talk about it, because I've got to tell you, I've got a lot of friends of mine whom I speak with on a regular basis, people who are real thinkers. You know, they're thinking about what's happening in the country. They're trying to come up with strategies of what do we do, how do we control the government again. I mean, there's some people out there, believe me, there are patriots. It sounds like, feels like, and looks like they're gone. But look at Becky Gerritsen, who we have made part of our show open. You know, isn't it amazing? The one voice on my show open who says that he believes the Constitution will stand. It will be saved, but not by the people in Washington, D.C., but by freedom-loving Americans. How prophetic were those words? Those words came from Ezra Taft Benson. Ezra Taft Benson gave those words during a devotional, what they call a devotional, which is a speech by church leaders at Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah, back in 1965. Is when those words were delivered by Mr. Benson, who served as the Secretary of Agriculture during the Eisenhower administration. Ezra Taft Benson was very active in politics for most of his life, went on to become a very important leader in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and in fact, eventually became what we in the LDS Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the official name of the Mormon Church, what do we refer to as the prophet and leader of our church. Ezra Taft Benson went to that very level. Unfortunately, way before I would have liked to have heard his voice silenced, to a large degree his voice was silenced because of a stroke he suffered while he was president of the church. His mind was still lucid. He did a lot of writing, but his ability to speak was, for the most part, lost. It was very halting. I happen to know a man who was Mr. Benson's personal aide in Salt Lake City. And he told me that when Mr. Benson, in that time, was President Benson of the church, he said when President Benson would speak, it was always very halting, but with tremendous sincerity. You could tell that he was taking the time to say every word correctly, and